Pickaxe.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oi, what's the best game where you get to eat pie? What's the best game where you play a dead guy? Aye?
You'll find out on VG247's podcast.
Looks boring.
What are you on about?
It looks great. All of their games, they look boring.
It doesn't look boring. It looks like you're an assassin on the Isle of Man.
But it doesn't have the kind of wow.
The steampunk whale-based economy is incredible.
Yeah, boring.
VG247's Best Games Ever podcast is ostensibly a show about figuring out what the best game in a weirdly specific category is, but it's actually just about petty arguments. You should listen to it. It's good.
Is that it? That's the whole promo?
Yeah, I was just doing...
And that's supposed to make people subscribe, is it?
Yes.
Okay, good luck with that.
You can find us wherever you get your podcasts.
Name.
I can't believe that's their real name. Is that their real
what
name?
What do you mean?
Great tune. I like that though.
Yeah.
That was a cool.
It was a nice mellow bit.
Who was it by, yeah. Smith?
Oh, fuck. I'm going to pronounce it. It's clearly a Dutch name. Gred van de Kunt.
Yeah.
Kunt.
Gred van de Kunt.
C-Y-U-N-T.
U-N-T. I don't know. I feel like it's a troll.
If it is your name, know that that word in other languages is a nightmare.
They probably know already and have been told.
Minefield.
Struggle for broadcasting.
Gred.
He also, yeah, definitely. Thanks, Gred.
Not Greg. Gred.
No regrets.
No regrets. Gred. Thank you, and welcome to the Hatchet Podcast, episode 95, with your hosts, Chris Trott,
Ross Hornby,
Alex Smith.
Wow, the tension was really building on that one.
Wow, that was...
There's quite a lot of latency, yeah.
Well, brain latency. Okay. Nah, I don't believe it.
Yeah.
Thank you to Gred van de Kunt for your incredible fingal. There's a longer version at the end. And also, if you want to send your fingal in, much like Gred did. Gred did.
Yeah, big Gred.
You're nailing it. Yeah,
you didn't have any regrets.
You say it like you're used to that name already, Trot.
Yeah.
Are you going to name your first child Gred?
Tempting, actually. Yeah, I'll write that down.
It is, isn't it?
Wow. That'll go on the fridge. Exactly.
Right.
It suits a cat's name. You could name your cat
Gred.
Gred.
Or maybe Kunt.
Come here, Gred.
Maybe I'll name him Kunt.
Kunt. Just go for... Yeah, call him a Kunt.
Or maybe Der Kunt.
Den Kunt.
Anyway, oh, yeah, send your fingers to our email.
Sorry.
hatchat@hat-films.com. Please. For the love of God, make some music. Thank you. Much appreciated.
Do you think people listen to this with children? Like in earshot?
Let's go,
because
kids.
I just said
time to sit around the TV
several times. And I feel it's an odd thing that, well, I don't think we say that often.
Kunt.
Young children, quick.
Young children, listen. Repeat after me. Shit.
Piss. All of them.
Fuck. All of them. All of the words. Them. Oh my God. If there were kids there, I apologize profusely.
I reckon it's personally better to introduce all the harshest words early so they get used to the idea of it. And
what if they start calling their parents, like, swear words?
Well, obviously, I'm joking, and B,
of course, yeah.
You'd tell them that it's not a good word, and just explain that you...
I guess people, but, like, take offense understanding to that. It. Surely telling them not to do something is so much more tempting to do that thing.
Depends.
Don't think of a lion.
But have you... I'm thinking of a tiger, because I got mistaken. That's my
thing. The jungle works.
Well, stripes or non-stripes, shit.
Stripes, non-stripes, mane, no mane, I'm not sure.
God.
No, but, like, have you ever heard a small child say fuck?
Yeah.
It's kind of all the time. Yeah.
It's a really jarring moment where it's like, whoa, Jesus Christ.
Fuck off.
He said fuck. And he said fuck off.
Fuck
and he
off.
Called me a cunt.
You can't.
God. And there's nothing you can do in retaliation to that.
I'll kick the shit out of you.
And then call them a cunt as well.
Yeah, you hear it a lot, in fact. Particularly in Bristol.
Really?
Yeah. There's a lot of unruly kids in Bristol. Certain areas of Bristol, the area I'm in, lots of them.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have to go out with like shin pads on, full hockey mask, and just ward them off with my hockey stick. And they're all just shouting "fuck off" in like a chanting kind of way, just, surrounding me.
Fuck off,
you prick. God, that's really, yeah.
Which leads me to the first incredible Patreon chosen hypothetical question.
Oh, thanks, really? Is it about kids supporters. Swearing and you beating them off with a stick?
It's a loose connection, very loose.
Okay.
So, if you were a farmer and you learned that all the animals were plotting against you, how would you gain their trust, and which animals would you appeal to first? Say you've got the whole menagerie of generic farm animals. You got your chickens. You might even have a couple geese. You've got cows, sheep. Geese.
I feel like no matter what you say, unless you're a farmer that is either that's not killing the animals for meat, it's a bit of an uphill battle, isn't it? Because anything you say is just going to be, well, no, you aren't going to kill me at the end of this, right? And it's like, yeah, and we're going to eat you. I don't think you could, but let's pretend that's not the case. And instead, maybe they're a dairy farmer.
Okay, but they're plotting against you, by the way, so you need to, they're on,
they're
it,
building up that mutiny. Yeah,
there's a plot,
but you could stop it. And there are certain animals that might be more empathetic.
I cut off all their legs.
Right.
Wow, that's actually extremely aggressive. Yeah. So they'll just become like useless.
Not useless.
Where they're just, well, yeah, but like they're not going to get the exercise they need, so you may as well just put them all in cages.
What do they need exercise for? They're dairy cows.
Healthy milk.
Well, they need to
feed and milk them. Feed and milk them.
You just want to keep them in the thing constantly milked until they're dead.
Yeah, I'll build a structure that is like just large enough for a cow body. Mm-hmm. When you cut the legs off, you slide the cow in. At the back, you've got a poo chute. Karen,
Jesus Christ!
Poo chute, which goes outside to I don't know, grow crops. The crops grow, and then I feed the crops to the cow in a box. and then at the bottom of the box, there are the little suckers, which just.
Constantly
sucking away.
I'm starting to think why they would start to rise up against you.
Oh, I'm going to really give them a reason to hate me.
It doesn't sound like he's trying to win their over.
No, you're not appealing at all.
Life worse.
How would you guys win the animals over?
Give them treats.
That's it.
That's how I win my dog over. You just give him treats. If you want him to do something, give him a reward. There's a reward system involved. However, I don't know how that works en masse with a lot of animals and a lot of different animals.
See, when I heard this question, I was kind of picturing kind of Babe Chicken Run, where I would literally sit down and talk to the animals. And like,
oh, really? Okay.
Okay. That's okay. I thought I'd turn to you first, sheep, because I know you've got it pretty easy and you're pretty good. We've got a good relationship, you and us. But the other guys, they're rising up against. And I thought maybe you could just have a word with them. Being a sheep, I won't shear you this year. How about that? You know, maybe do a little bargaining chip.
They like it.
Well, if you like being sheared, I'll shear you twice.
Have you seen sheep
that
haven't been sheared?
You know, this is the kind of back and forth. This is the deal we're trying to make here. Let's meet in the middle. So, yeah, I think...
Do you ever wonder... what language an animal would speak? Would it just speak the language of the country it's in?
You've seen Babe, right?
Or would it? I've seen Babe.
Yeah.
It's bar and
there's a whole mixture.
All English.
It's all rhyming.
And also, something I was
songs.
Pondering last night, which isn't necessarily related, but do dogs have like they left-handed or right-handed? And is there a way to find out? Because I feel like Murphy leans on a specific angle. In a certain way, more so on his left arm than his right. Not that their arms are all legs, of course. But I just wondered if that's something you've ever pondered.
Do you walk him on a particular side of you?
I do walk him, on the right hand side. I'm right handed, so I can.
Do you think you're just building up
but he would,
strength
he's,
on one side?
Maybe, yeah. One of his arms is stronger than the other. I don't know. But surely they have a preference. Is it just kind of like they would rather go left than right or whichever?
Do you notice that when you do...
I mean, it's an interesting idea. I guess like for us, our handedness is kind of more important because we use our hands for much more complex things. Like think about what a dog uses a paw for. We could use our left hand or our off hand for... for that. You know, like they don't do very complicated things, so I don't think it's as important.
Yeah,
I would guess. Mm-hmm. But maybe
sometimes he reaches under the sofa with an arm. Maybe I should. I'm going to monitor him and try and figure out.
Yeah, series of
which
tests.
Which hand he is. You do it at home too if you've got a dog or a cat.
I will.
Okay.
I'll do that.
According to the largest ever study of canine handedness, most dogs are right-handed. Okay. Male dogs are more likely to be left-handed than female dogs, and younger dogs are more likely to be left-handed than older dogs.
Someone's had this question, Ross, and executed a study.
Good. The largest ever.
The largest ever study.
Some they were big before, but this one was gigantic.
What are we gaining from knowing? The handedness, the poorness of a dog.
It's pretty obvious. It's how many pairs of left-handed scissors to make for him. You need market data to know how many pairs of left-handed scissors to make.
It's a very good point.
I mean, you say that, yeah, I guess, you know, it does matter for humans more. We have actual hands and we do stuff with them. But I just was wondering if anyone's ever done that. Clearly it's been thought about and there's been a study. So, yeah. Nice.
Do you reckon birds are left or right winged more?
Oh, gosh, I don't know.
Let me Google that as well. Are birds
left? Do they have one stronger arm which they
left
kind of
or right
kick
winged?
Off with? Like,
and what about their feet?
Think they need to go together.
Left or right footed as well. Don't forget that.
The vast majority of us are right handed. Trot, you freak. Do birds have handedness too? Indeed, they do. Birds show it by the foot they use, the eye they look out of, and the crossing of their bills. That's how you tell which handedness
is.
I love that there's more info on this than I ever imagined there would be. That's impressive.
Well, you got train spotters, and you've got other people that are obsessed with certain things like dogs, cats, and birds. Yeah. Some of them, you know, work for National Geographic and do well out of it, and others just really want to find out which wing is the dominant wing on a bird. And do the biggest study yet.
Some dogs can only turn a certain direction as well. So, like, a dog can only turn left, so it always turns round fully to go right.
Not an ambi-turner.
A uniturner.
Interesting ponderings, but yeah, I would use the left-handed, right-handed situation to get the animals on my side. I try and humanize them in that way.
Well, you'd separate them.
Talk to them. I just feel like talking to an animal does sometimes feel pointless because if they don't listen. I mean, a herd of animals. You're trying to reason.
Yeah, are we
with
presuming
them?
That the animals are smart enough to understand what we're saying?
Again,
if they're smart enough to plot, I feel.
I hope you're saying it in every language. Is all I'm saying. If you're gonna
every language,
go through all the languages.
Well, where were they born and raised? That's probably an indication of what language.
You need to go through all of them. This needs to be like an arrival situation. You need to figure out what the language is.
I see.
Guess how many spoken languages there are in 2022. Guess how many human languages there are
languages.
Right now.
I'm going to go say something crazy like, I don't know, 130?
1,000.
Okay. Is that crazy?
There's 7,100 spoken languages in the world today.
That's fucking
so good. Fucking
so
up,
many.
Cross.
130. What am I thinking about? How long have I got?
Oh, I'm going to go
crazy. I said
crazy.
130, thinking that was kind of ambitious. What the fuck? Active languages, 7,000.
Yes,
that's insane.
7,100
so many
languages are spoken in the world today.
How many of them? Yeah, I imagine the big continents like Africa would have 7, a lot 000. Of like tiny regional languages.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean, there is going to be elements of that, definitely. I mean, to be fair to you, Ross, if I saw it before I got to guess, and I definitely wouldn't have guessed 7,000.
No,
either.
Yeah,
that's a lot.
Alarming. And imagine, I'd love to learn them all, but then again, I don't want to spend the time doing it. I'm guessing Latin's in there or something, like, which is, again, just,
not dead languages.
Are there dead languages in there?
Vatican City.
I suppose
well,
if they're,
Latin is
they're
not
dead,
technically
yeah.
a dead language.
Yeah.
It's dead to me because I don't know it.
And people probably speak Egyptian. Like the ancient hieroglyphic style solely.
They speak that.
Speak it.
Oh, Latin does not have native speakers, which qualifies it as a dead language, even though it's used like loads in the church and shit like that. I don't know.
People study it, don't they?
Yeah.
Study
yeah.
Latin. And it's the root of a lot of languages. But then why would it be dead?
Because it's not like actively spoken.
Not in its Latin form.
Not
obviously the evolved forms into like Germanic and God. That sort of thing are alive today.
Anyway, if you know what languages animals speak, let us know. hatchat@hat-films.com. We want
to
know.
That's the thing to ask as well, is like, do dogs, cats, and animals have accents based on where they are? Like, does their woof change?
Yeah. So apparently that's a thing.
Yeah, that is a thing.
Yeah.
Well, Murphy's Ukrainian. He's got a Ukrainian father.
Has he?
I don't remember where his mother came from, but yeah.
Amazing.
He was picked up in, well, his father was picked up in Ukraine.
And then they brought him back to breed here.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Interesting. So, wow.
Yeah.
Is he flying a flag?
He's pretty upset at the moment. Sorry?
Is he flying a flag?
Yeah, I should get a little flag and put it on his back.
Oh, yeah.
Like wrap him in it. Get a dog wrap.
Yeah? A dog wrap, what, wrap like a car?
Like you'd wrap a car, yeah.
Get one of those protective...
some 3M tape.
Charcoal grey. Wow, that dog looks super stylish.
Holy shit, look at the rims on that thing.
Bet he doesn't scratch easy.
I'll put pretend wheels on the sides of his paws as he walks.
I'm looking at...
Hilarious.
Yeah, it's a 22 model.
Going back to the dog thing 21. Very quickly.
Yeah.
I've just found an article.
We're still on the dog thing, Troll. We're talking about wrapping it.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. So I'm looking at an article here. Does your dog bark with a Boston accent is the... officially, there are 195 countries in the world. If dogs actually can bark in different accents and localisms, we'd have to be bilingual or something. I caught the tail end.
Dogs can't.
Caught the tail end of a conversation on radio talking about the fact dogs do growl with regional accents. I'm sure non-animal people will laugh at the notion, but Disney was right all along about Lady in the animated film Lady and the Tramp. Researchers have found that aristocratic dogs have more of a posh accent when they bark.
Bark.
Woof.
Apparently, it's true that dogs indeed do have regional accents because their owner's speech and language influences the way a dog vocalizes.
That's nuts.
They try and imitate.
Does that count? Her little bark?
What's that?
Mochi did a little bark. Would you consider that being based off of the way you speak to her?
I really hope the howling isn't. If you've heard Mochi...
How often does she howl?
Whenever there's, well, not whenever, but if she really likes some good ambulances and police cars zooming past, she will join in the chorus.
Would that work if you literally had it on the TV, like a drama show or something?
We've tested it with mobile phone, like police siren montages, because people do that, of course. People are doing montages of all the police cars they spotted in the week. And that's just
I'm not surprised.
Candy
I mean,
for dogs. Like Mochi.
Did she learn the howling from you sounding?
I think it's a very similar term. Yeah, a very similar sound. Sound for sounding. So yeah, maybe. Then maybe they picked up my accent.
Nice.
But yeah, dogs do have an accent. And even like an aristocratic, like class-based accent. Like if it's posh or if it's more working class, I guess you'd say.
Finishing this whole if animals were plotting against me, how would I gain their trust? Trust wise, like Ross says, I mean, if we're presuming that just food and shelter and kindness is enough, if they don't, you know, if you're not working on a kill farm, let's call it, let's hope they don't know. Otherwise, if you are working on a kill farm, I feel like at the end of a very busy day, I'm going to feel like Charlie Kelly bashing rats and just be exhausted after killing 300 head of cattle, 500 sheep. And like 60 chickens with a pitchfork. Like that is going to be exhausting
pitchfork,
work.
But
they won't give me access to guns for some reason. So unfortunately, also just like guns are quite a hard way to kill. Shotguns especially, unless you've got slugs, you are not killing anything clean.
So was the answer you wouldn't gain their trust? You would just murder them?
Just slaughter them.
I like to think that if they were clever and sentient enough to plot against me, then, you know, I need to respect that danger. And, you know, at that point, it's like, yeah. Because, I mean, farming on a massive scale, kill farming, I know it's needed because most of us don't raise and kill our own meat anymore. But at the same time, it is ultimately concentrating all of that death and destruction onto a small group of people who, in a way, are kind of the, you know, the prison wardens of a death camp. Let's be honest. Yeah. I mean, I support our farmers. Sure, I know it doesn't sound like it, but like, you know, I appreciate that farmers are there because, frankly, everybody else isn't capable or prepared or has the resources and space to make their own food. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of the grim reality of a farm that raises animals for meat. So
I think most of the animals are unaware about their impending doom.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless they go into the barn.
Yeah.
They peek through the door. They can see what's going on. And then they tell the others.
Obviously, they go off to abattoirs usually. Yeah. I mean, the farmers aren't the one chicken doing the killing.
I was hoping for that kind of... I don't know what I expected with this conversation topic, to be honest, but I did expect us all to be instantly engaging with our animals in English dialogue and having a whimsical, empathetic dialogue with which to, like, I'll pick the chickens first so that they can go speak to the sheep and then the sheep can speak to the ducks.
That's lovely. Spread it.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's really nice. I hope, you know, there's a farm where you can do that one day. I doubt it will be a farm.
Or you can just visit a farm, take a shit loads of LSD, and you can have that experience.
You do. Can have that experience.
Well, we need
to
go...
talking to each other.
We've got to go to Yo Valley or whatever country park. The one that's near Bristol. It's like 20 minutes away. We are definitely going to do that because it will be a hilarious video of us just messing around with piggies.
You sort it out then. Call them up.
Well, we can just turn up. It's an open.
Oh, really?
You just turn up and pay like a tenner, and you can just go run around in a pen with pigs.
And I'll get like a farmer to give us some talking heads.
Well, a lot of farmers don't just keep animals around for people to play with, believe it or not. I definitely know a farmer that has a dairy herd, but I don't think you're going to find it that interesting. It's giant cows.
It'd be nice to have a guide. Otherwise, we're just there, just frolicking with the pigs. I want to know, trust me, that's
good content. Trust me. You haven't seen the pigs yet.
Okay, we'll go jump onto a pig farm and see what happens.
It's not a pig farm. Again, a pig farm would be a horrible place to visit also because the ground is just churned to mud.
But
I'll take you there one day. It'll be an exciting day out for both of you. You'll be there wide-eyed and smiling-faced in the back, like, where are we going? And Craig's there, grim-faced with a shotgun in the front seat, like waiting. He knows where we're going.
And on the way back, we can like hit a pub and get the big like buffet, all the meats.
Yeah.
And then back home again.
Lovely.
We should go to a Toby Carvery.
Yeah. For sure.
It's been so long.
I'd like cow,
I mean, I'll be up
lamb,
for it,
rabbit.
Been to one in years.
What else do we see today? Got any lizard?
Just eat every animal.
Seen a lot of animals today. Yeah.
You got any pigeon?
Pigeon.
Farmer's choice.
So this other question sounds quite good. Patreon number two question.
Hello, I'm Wheels, the Dungeon Master for Storybreakers. Love Critical Role and movies like Hot Fuzz and Spotlight? Actual play series Storybreakers combines the fantasy adventure of Dungeons & Dragons with small-town comedy and mystery in an episodic tale of journalists on the hunt for the secret underbelly of a tiny town where nothing seems to happen.
But excuse me if I don't think a bunch of ragtag journalists from a podunk town are actually going to be of any help.
But technically, I don't come from here.
When the mysterious arrival of a celebrity from the Heroes and Adventurers Guild sets off a strange conspiracy, the group will have to leave what they think they know about the world at the door if they're ever to unravel the truth at the heart of this seemingly nondescript town.
It's not front page of the Sasai Star.
I pulled up the today's like installment of the news to see what the front page actually is.
There's a big picture of a pumpkin that's been stepped on, and it says, "Outrage as pumpkin stepped on."
Storybreaker Season 1 in its entirety is available for listening right now wherever you get your podcasts, with Season 2 on the way. Find out more at dicebreaker.com.
Question number two. You're the chosen astronaut who has to find a habitable planet to live on. The entire mission is in your control, and technology can almost always fulfill your requests within reason. How and where would you start humanity 2.0?
Do you like that question?
Well, I do. It's very interesting.
I made that one up.
Question.
Yeah. I thought that was coming.
So I'm just going to rest on my laurels while you answer this question.
Oh, okay.
Do you want to start, Ross?
So you have to find a planet to live on. The entire mission is in your control. Technology can almost always fulfill your requests within reason. Where do you start humanity? Well, I mean, I guess you don't want to be too far away from your current place so that you can transport people effectively and quickly, right? Isn't that the intent? That's why they're looking at Mars, isn't it?
Yeah, partly, yeah. It's like the only other habitable planet in our solar system, probably.
But then again, if any technology exists, surely you can just, you know, use, you know, light speed.
Well, let's or presume that you've got like wormhole technology or something like that, right? So that you can traverse space-time.
Okay. Go through a wormhole.
An Einstein-Rosenberg bridge, is it? Is what they called them.
Yeah. Let's just also assume... That Earth as we know it, is gone. There's no going back to that. We're all on ships now. And you can go anywhere you want, though. And the technology we do have is incredible. And we can start life basically anywhere if you want. It's just kind of like your pick and choice, really. What would be fun?
I guess you just want to find a planet with loads of giant humanoid people.
To contend with?
So giant, like an Amazonian. Yeah,
giant. So that they're, when they're already farming and doing all that stuff, you're so small that you make such little impact on the environment.
How tall is it?
Around you.
How tall are they?
Oh, I would say at least 30 foot.
Oh my God. Fucking that's hell. Insanely tall.
So you go to a planet where you're tiny people.
Less than a and third.
Then, and they just think we're kind of cutesy little, I mean, I imagine in reality they would imprison us and treat us like domestic pets.
Yeah, have you seen Jack and the Giant Beanstalk?
No, I haven't. Is that a similar
plot?
Doesn't
go well.
Ah, shit. Okay. I guess you don't really want to go to a planet where you could be dominated and or crushed by an extremely large predator. So that's out of the window.
But
so there's a really great series of books that I'm reading called Expeditionary Force, and it's a really fun book. It's not that serious. It's a really fun series of books where it's about so human beings were on, it's a regular planet, we're in Earth modern day, and one day a species of aliens invades. Okay, I don't want to spoil too much, but basically it turns out humanity's like, oh shit, there are all of these different kinds of aliens. And they're not all weird, you know, there are lots of different kinds. There's like giant hamster people, there are giant lizard people, there are your standard, like somewhere between a small grey alien mixed with a cyborg. There are like cat people. It's a really cool series, right? Expeditionary Force. But anyway, in that, the human beings manage to capture a starship, and it's about them going through like the galaxy now that they've got access to this ridiculous technology they barely know how to use, but they get to go through the world and they have to try and stop humanity being wiped out by all these different alien species they've just found out exist. But they visit planets quite a lot, and all of these different planets often have different effects. So like usually there's more or less gravity and how that affects the human physiology. And you're saying, so it made me think, like, with you saying that you've come to a planet with people who are 30 feet tall. Now, the other time that happened on Earth, where things were really, really big, was during the dinosaur periods, let's call it, the Triassic, Jurassic, all that sort of stuff. And one of the reasons they were so big is because CO2 was much more abundant in the air back then. So there was abundant plant life, which meant that lots of herbivores could eat and eat and eat and evolve to become bigger and bigger and bigger, right? So I would also probably say that it would help to have slightly reduced gravity if you were going to create a race of 30 feet tall people. So you've landed on a slightly lower gravity, high CO2 environment, right? So the air, you can still breathe it, but it's probably not as fun as regular oxygen CO2 mix. And there are lower gravity, which might feel nice for a while, but it's actually not particularly good for your circulatory system. So after a while, Ross, you start becoming like an old decrepit pug.
I can't wear a space suit.
You could wear a space suit for your entire life if you like, but do you see that happening?
Well, I see that being a necessity, otherwise I'm going to become
an old decrepit pug.
As an old decrepit pug.
Yeah. So
I want to be a pug.
Yeah, okay, so you're going to be a space pug.
A space pug?
Yeah.
Okay. Sure.
Would you go, so you start Humanity 2.0 and every single human has to live their life in a spacesuit. So you go back and tell people this and you're like, guys, I found this planet. Huge people.
We all have to wear these suits all the time.
And they're like, fucking hell, astronaut Ross, that's a bit shit.
Yeah. And then I turn to astronaut Trot and say, well, what did you find?
What did you find, Trot?
Oh, I didn't actually think of an answer to this question, so I'll think of something very fast. I'd like to...
That's generally what we're doing.
Yeah. I didn't use any of that time to come up with anything, is what I'm saying.
No.
I was engaged in the 30-foot tall existence, and also the fact that Smith knew that there was elevated levels of CO2 in the dinosaur era. That's correct. 2,000 to 4,000, I think, ppm, something like that.
Oh, parts per million. Nice. Yeah.
Which is insane. Amazing. And also, I think in the...
Oh, my God, were you there?
The Cretaceous, yeah, I was there.
That's why my neck's so long. I'm part Diplodocus.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, nice.
Yeah.
Is it the Cretaceous?
So your dick's so long, period? Right? You're a Diplodocus.
Diplodocus, yeah.
Precisely. Yeah. You used to have feathers.
Very much prey, though, not predator.
You're prey. They love it. It's delicious.
I would go for the idea. I love the idea, right, of a gas giant. Which we don't have in our solar system, so it'd be quite a novelty to have.
That would be a complete novelty.
Yeah. Never heard of them. You go all the way through the middle.
I thought Venus was a gas giant.
Yeah.
No, wait, that was disproven, wasn't it?
It was disproven. It's actually like an M&M. It's got a hard outer shell and kind of a soft, squidgy inner bit. But anyway.
Nice.
Tastes like them too.
Indeed. So I'd have a gas giant.
Well, hold on. Sorry, I thought M&Ms were Mars.
Oh, it's really good. Gas giant. Two suns, because fuck it. Let's have two suns in our sky. That's awesome. Everyone is on floating.
Does that mean it's always sunny?
Nice. No, they'd be quite close to each other.
No, is it? That's a real question. Well, obviously,
this solar system, right, has two stars that are so close to each other, they are orbiting each other, and we're orbiting around that.
What the
Is that called a binary
star, binary star system? Yeah. Which means days are going to be fucking insane, because I think the pull of two stars, and also like they would throw off a general, like, I assume a circular orbit around the sun. Sometimes you just fling off and come back. Who knows? Either way, you're on this gas giant, and everyone's on balloons.
On balloons,
yeah, balloon platforms.
When you say on them,
balloons TD.
Everything is suspended by balloons. Like hot air balloons, but like
sorry,
the maximum.
Balloons.
But the thing is, again, you are essentially just surviving on ships. I think it sounds cool. And it'd be amazing to like see it for sure. Yeah. I love the idea of the balloon cloud cities. It's a very cool concept, but it's somewhere you'd want to visit, not live, I feel, because
what's balloon planet?
All right, fine.
Yeah,
balloon.
That's our tourist trap, shall we say?
Yeah,
because the gravity is insane. Yeah. It's actually really hard to leave. Also, temperature's soaring, so like life expectancy really plummets on the balloon planet. Anyway. Yeah.
What are the balloons made from that they're withstanding such heat?
Because
when you put a balloon near a light bulb, it will pop. Props.
They're made out of... We've managed to harness water bears as a material.
Oh, okay.
As a material?
You just like...
Have we managed to scale them up, though? Because
yeah, I think we managed to pump them full of growth hormones or whatever, and we can turn them into balloons, like inflate them, because they can withstand anything. That'll diamond.
This is literally a Star Trek Discovery plot line, by the way.
Oh, is it really? What they made tardigrades big?
Giant tardigrade. Yeah. I shit you not. It was,
I think I saw that episode.
In that scenario,
but it was like trapped.
It's not a bad episode,
a ship, right?
It's not. Yeah. They like trap it and then scale it up, and in between there's some terrible acting. And then I think it's at this point they go, should we really Star Trek Picard and bore the shit out of everyone? And they're like, that's a great idea.
He holds no resentment for the new Star Trek.
None of them.
Yeah, okay, so we got... I'd like to also just Dyson sphere up the binary star system, because I think everyone's seen a Dyson sphere, right, which is where you harness the entire energy of the sun by surrounding it in solar panels, essentially, that you then beam back to the planet you're living on. And then after that, you could put a big rocket on the Dyson sphere and then move the entire solar system where you want. That also sounds pretty cool.
That's a very big
long-term
rocket.
Plans.
Wow.
I'm thinking long-term plans, but we've got the balloon planet system. I'd like to tether that to the nearest like Earth-like planet, like physically tether it, so that we have like a horizontal space elevator coming out of the nice planet to the tourist balloon planet. So if we can get working on that, that'd be awesome.
I like that you're making like this whole solar system. That is pretty cool.
Yeah. And we can just shift it around.
Right.
You can just with the big rockets wherever. On the binary star system. Just move it.
Yeah.
Where do you want to go, guys? Andromeda? Fine, let's go. Sweet.
Okay, let's go.
If there was a setup where you were in a giant, essentially a hamster ball, and you had enough food to survive until you perished in your late 90s, let's say, but you were fired from a giant space cannon just into space, and you could travel millions of miles.
How fast
in
are you
your
going?
Lifetime?
Yeah. Like speed of light.
Fast, well, I don't know what's the maximum a human body could take.
It's hard to tell.
It's acceleration that's the killer, not speed.
Yeah, if you could build up to that speed, it'd be fine. Yeah, like relativity.
Okay.
Space travel is really interesting, and the whole idea of like how to maneuver through space. You need to be going.
Would you take that opportunity? Would you be like, wow?
It'd be really boring.
You can be fired into the.
Fuck no.
Well,
you wouldn't see any. It depends on how fast you're going. Let's say you're going just below the speed of light, which is the fastest theoretical speed you can go without like wormhole technology. How long would it take to leave our solar system?
You're basically becoming your own personal Hubble telescope, where you're just being launched.
Yeah.
It'd take nearly 2 years to reach the outer boundary of our solar system if you were traveling at the speed of light. It'd be cool. I mean, I think that is about the minimum speed. But how long would it take to get up to the speed of light without killing a human being is another factor. So basically, Ross, no, I wouldn't take it because chances are you're just going to be drifting through empty space and then you'll die.
Also, I'm thinking
it would be quite the horrible experience.
Yeah. I mean, you would have
the overwhelming blackness of nothing.
Yeah.
For an extreme long period of time.
Probably. I don't think it'd be black because you'd have the light of the sun.
Well, you'd see stars, sure.
You'd have the light of the sun as well.
Yeah.
As long as you're not it's not occluded by like the Earth or the Moon.
Well, but there's barely anything for that sun to hit in terms of you'd just be looking at bodies and planets and stuff that sun is hitting. Everything else is a vacuum, so it's all blackness apart from planets and
other
stars.
You might be able to see the other orb further ahead because they were fired.
Oh, you did a few.
There's a train of them. There's a lot of them just being fired out with marbles.
They're far away enough. You can't hear each other because it's a vacuum of space, obviously. Can't even wave.
No. You'll never meet them.
You'll never see them.
You'll see them constantly for the rest of your life.
And you don't know if they're alive or dead.
You'll never meet them.
As well.
Yeah,
you could be like behind a corpse. And you'd never know. That's horrifying, Ross. I'm going to say no on that. Don't think I'd do it.
I'd like to see that film. Yeah, that if they made Buried, they should make that film.
Dying slowly in space.
Dying slowly in an orb in space.
Do you think...
As you desperately try to communicate with the orb in front and behind.
Do you think us ejecting bodies, right? If we start doing that as like a service, like the land is getting filled up with bodies from, you know, burials and cremations... We've got this alternative solution to railgun bodies into the outer atmosphere and beyond. Do you think that's detrimental to this planet? Because essentially, other than satellites and NASA stuff and space agencies, we haven't really taken material and left it outside of the planet. It's always been the same material and energy supply in Earth. And by removing bodies, which are carbon bodies, out, are we imbalancing the planet by doing that? If you get to a certain amount of bodies ejected...
I think it's still probably quite minuscule on the scale of the planet.
But if you kept doing
kept doing it, the best way to do it would not to be fire them into space. Human bodies, anyway, any form of organic material, you need to add it back into the ecosystem.
Well,
because there are systems in place on Earth to do that, you know, everything is a cycle.
You say that,
but if it's something that's like truly fucked, like, you know, nuclear waste that we have no chance of restoring back to a usable substance
in our lifetimes,
that's what we need, a sky lift.
Yeah, fire it into space, why the hell not?
Or we have a piping system which is like a sky lift, which just takes all the CO2 and blasts it outside of the ozone layer.
A space elevator.
A space elevator.
Yeah, I think what we're kind of getting
that's
at
what we
here
need.
Is we all want a space elevator. because that'd be cool. Yeah. Imagine just like being able to go somewhere. We've seen like the London Eye and other wonders of the world, really tall things. But imagine seeing something that literally just keeps going off into space. That would be an incredible sight.
The engineering behind it is pretty ridiculous, though. Like, as in, holy crap. Like, even the tallest structure we've ever made is nowhere near what it needs to be.
Well, that's what's great about
Foundation. How cool was it to see the space elevator in Foundation, Ross?
Like, that was cool.
There's a
I've seen that.
Yeah, it's you seen it as well? Okay.
Yeah, well, then to see the things that happen. It's wow. Yeah, that is a huge risk. You know, that would be the most valuable thing on Earth at the time. Yeah, that would be nuts.
But yeah, they are cool. I mean, it would be a big leap in humankind to be able to do that. And that would be...
Is that purposeful?
Awesome. Humankind. It's not a sci-fi game.
No, a leap. It's obviously going really far up.
It's a rail gun.
Oh, nice. No, it wasn't. I'm just an idiot.
Could they create a rail gun that basically just fires you in a pod? Again, you're in a pod.
Ross, but
you're
going straight to Earth.
Yeah, you die just instantly.
It's same problem, all right? G-forces.
But what if you're sealed inside a kind of kryptonite style... Not kryptonite. What's the one which Han Solo gets sealed in?
Carbonite,
that's one. You get sealed in there, and then you get shot up.
Inside, your internal organs are just mush.
There's no way to do it unless you freeze a person
solid. It's impossible. Fine.
You could freeze a person solid if we knew how to revive it, someone. The problem with freezing people is the water expands when it's frozen, so it destroys all of the vessels and cells inside your body because of that as well.
Yeah.
It's really complicated. Ross, it is hard.
No, we shouldn't do it ourselves.
We do need our best and brightest minds, though, on this, so I'm glad we went over it.
I might have a solution. Right here. I think I've just found a solution to all this.
There we go.
What is it? We slowly convert our bodies... through augmentation, you know, we're like trying to cyborg ourselves with Neuralink and all that, and we've seen dystopic futures like Cyberpunk where we slowly take over pieces of our bodies. Have we thought about going organic with it, like replacing all our stuff with diamond?
All our stuff,
all our bodies, like diamond people.
I don't know how that's. I mean, diamonds are quite rare.
That's not true, Ross.
Yeah.
Is it not?
No. You can get a lot of diamond.
You can get lots of diamonds. So why is it? You can also synthesize scarcity for a reason.
Yeah, it's a manufactured scarcity. But then also we can manufacture diamonds quite easily now because it's essentially a diamond is just carbon.
So you could create a building out of diamond and it would cost not much. Is that what you're saying?
I mean,
you said it's not rare. It's just I'm saying I feel like it would still be a lot of money.
It's not as ubiquitous as concrete, but like diamonds are not particularly rare. In fact, compared to other gemstones, they're the most common precious stone found. Generally, the cost per carat of a weight of a gemstone is based upon the stone's rarity. The rarer the stone, the more expensive. But they only compose a tiny fraction of the earth. Sure, but I mean, maybe we could build a diamond house. Do you want to build a house out of diamond?
As soon as we're a multi-planet species, right, which is like the next 5-10 years, right? There are planets in our solar system that have a wealth of diamond. So
And asteroids.
And asteroids.
It's basically just made under pressure, right? Yeah. It's carbon under pressure.
Which is why
diamonds.
I think it's a perfect substitute for skin. And then we can get railgun.
Yeah.
Anywhere.
Yeah. Then,
and then we just we'll just put us in a railgun.
They're Hold sending on, no, the diamond people out.
We don't need railguns. We can just use those circus cannons.
That's true. Circus they go cannons, about the same velocity, don't they?
Mm.
About the same trajectory. Nice.
Yeah.
I think we solved a whole problem there. And
we've solved a big problem.
We've got novelty ideas for NASA if they want to take humanity somewhere else.
Novelty.
Yeah.
Not novel, novelty.
Novelty ideas, yeah.
Because they're a joke.
Can we? Have we seen any planets with 30-foot tall people inhabiting it?
Yes. There's a man made of diamond in a suit walking around.
Diamond man.
Hello.
Brilliant. Well, we're at the 41-minute mark already with all these incredible hypotheticals. Is there any funny news out there, Ross, or is there nothing funny?
There's a couple. There was an interesting one about pilots were going to do a plane swap in midair. That's apparently happening on Sunday. So it's not actually
a plane swap.
So, maybe it's something we save for the next one. I'm not
sure. Jesus fucking Christ. That sounds nuts.
But the plan is, it says... All eyes will be up to the skies above California on Sunday's two cousins dare to accomplish a never-before-seen air stunt. Luke Akins and Andy Farrington, longtime pilots, skydivers, and members of the Red Bull Air Force aviation crew, will attempt the first plane swap, where they will fly their planes close together, put them into a nosedive, and then skydive into each other's aircraft before making a safe landing. It's literally GTA.
That's crazy.
It's literally just like a, or like a stunt in Battlefield or something.
I mean, props to them. Like, it's crazy, and I'd love to see it. I do, however, really not like the shit-eating statement they made about it. It's the pinnacle of my career, and my goal is to inspire the world and show them that anything is possible. You can set your mind on something that at times seemed wild, crazy, unattainable, and but through ambition and creativity, you can make it happen. And a shitload of money. I'm doing it because money and it's fun is what they should have said. I mean, I'm sure this is insanely fun for
to get
people who are
a hold
this.
Of a plane that you also know that you're basically sacrificing, because if you don't get in back into that plane, that's going into the ground. Or,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah,
I hope they're doing it somewhere.
I'm where, sure they will.
It can just land. It'll be over a huge
desert or
empty
a sea
area. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. Yeah, it's going to take a lot of, and also the training they would need to go through. Apparently, they were inspired to do the stunt 22 years ago.
Holy crap!
It's taken them time to prep.
And Red Bull
this.
Has finally got enough money that they can just crash planes
finally,
into the ground. Yeah, I know.
Jeez,
right?
They've got
had
money
for a long time.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, the F1 alone.
F1.
So that's happening. Yeah, on Sunday. So if you check that out, you might be able to see if it actually happens. I'm only just found the story, so I'm actually I'm interested to see how that goes.
Does sound, I mean, that sorry, sounds it sounds amazing. Red Bull, the people that Red Bull pay do crazy stuff, and it's crazy to see it, and it's exciting. I don't mean to shut. I just get a bit. I'm a bit tired. I think everyone is getting a bit tired of like people making these very corporate kind of like it's going to be
do it.
I want to inspire people out there so that when they, you know, get on a bus that they can't really afford and have to go to a job they hate and come home and eat food that's shit, they go, no, because I saw a guy jump into a fucking plane, that's going to inspire me for the rest of my day. It's like, fuck off. It looks cool. It's fun. Lucky you.
I suppose it's hard. Yeah, it's hard to get the tone for everyone. That's the thing in that sense. It's just like, because obviously, I don't know, for them, I don't know. Yeah, obviously, they've got ambition and creativity and stuff. But yeah, like, it's when anyone can do it. It's like, well, that's obviously not true.
That isn't true.
But I'm not going to try and get into jumping out of planes and landing.
Why not?
And then jumping into another plane.
I reckon.
It's not one of my goals. But
had an opportunity to do it. Unfortunately, it fell through.
Skydiving. Yeah.
Yeah. I reckon at some point we will do it. I hope.
Well, I hope we really
don't.
I
don't want bungee jump.
I was dreading that. I don't know what it is. There's something about jumping out of a plane that really unsettles me. I'm not sure what it is.
I think jumping out of a plane is less dangerous than diving.
Do you reckon? Probably.
I think like you overcoming the worries you had about diving down deep, and it is quite a sketchy
but
thing
I still,
to do.
I mean, like that, but I think swimming, I would rather dive. Well, I did dive. I would rather dive than jump out of a plane, but
maybe I'll get into
the mindset where jumping out of a plane feels like something I desperately want to do.
Yeah,
maybe it'll take you 20 years.
We've got people in our chat that are saying that job makes them want to jump out of a plane.
Oh. Yeah.
Maybe you just need more motivation, Ross. Instead of creativity, just depression and a need to escape.
Just read all the negative comments about myself.
Don't worry about the parachute.
I'm ready to jump.
Don't worry about it.
I'm ready to go. I should just leave that there. I'm fine. Bye.
Yeah.
Didn't even give him a cannon.
Dark.
He's gone.
Also, we'd be able to get out there, get some footage, and prove that the Earth is flat
finally.
It's still flat, guys.
It's still up. B.O.B.'s here.
I'm looking all the way around, and it's all flat.
Yeah. It's all flat as far... No dragons, though. I'm surprised. No dragons.
They're hiding. They're sleeping this time of year, I think.
Yeah.
Sleeping on the edge. Cool. Well,
But what a crazy stunt, though. Crazy to see.
Maybe, next Friday we should tell everyone what happened.
See what, catch up on that, see what happens. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well,
maybe,
Unless it's a complete disaster.
Good luck.
Good luck to them.
It's not funny news. It's horrible, dark news.
It could be good or bad next week. We'll find out.
Two cousins pound their bodies into the ground and fight.
They hit each other, just spin up and smash
disaster.
Yeah.
Stocks plummet for Red Bull, much like the two bodies did in this plane swap.
Oh, God. They collided and went into the props, which knocked the planes off course, which smashed into a busy motorway and killed 400 people.
Yeah. Well, there's nothing like watching it live. So
that's true.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Whoa, I saw the whole fucking thing. Shit.
I'm traumatized. Anyway.
Oh my God.
If you would like to be traumatized as a unison, maybe consider joining our Patreon. Patreon.com/hatfilms, where you get to choose the hypotheticals of the week. Wow, what an accolade. And also know, have that warm, fuzzy feeling in your heart that you're supporting three white men in England, allowing them to do their podcast every week. That's nice.
Yeah.
And if it entertains you in some way.
Maintain the status quo.
Yeah.
Don't smash the patriarchy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Woo!
Please, don't. My patriarchy is delicate.
Please.
If you're also musically inclined, I'd very much like to hear your fingles. Please send them in to our email address, hatchat@hat-films.com, so that we can feature them, much like Gred was featured in this one. It's a longer version at the end as well. So enjoy that. And we'll see you all next week. Have a great time at LARP, Alex Smith. Tell us all about it next week.
I will.
Excellent. All right. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
First taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.